America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We get to the Funhouse. Ravens, three in a row, tied for first now in the AFC North. Here to look back at yesterday's game, maybe peek ahead just a little bit to the Commanders coming up on Sunday, 1 o'clock. Ravens 6.5-point favorites there from the Baltimore Sun. He is Childs Walker. Childs, good morning. What is happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. I think I needed a glass of whiskey after that game yesterday. That was something.
That was a fun thing to watch. And look, both quarterbacks were brilliant. But Lamar's play, where he finds likely, and we look at the quintessential signature Lamar plays. I think back to 19, the first MVP, the spinning and running through the Bengals defense on his way to like a 60-yard touchdown. But if we look at the Lamar plays when we finish writing the book of his career, does this one get its own little chapter, the touchdown after the drop? He dropped the snap, the touchdown, Isaiah Likely there.
Yeah, this feels like it gets on the highlight reel because it just brought together so many of the elements that make him unique. I mean, it does start with a mistake, but he overcomes that and he improvises, and then, you know, he stiff arms the one would be a tackler, and you know, it kind of slips away from him and gets all the way over to the sideline with the other two guys bearing down on him, and then, you know, he just kind of wings the ball, you know, across his body. You don't know where it's going, but you know, it finds Likely. I mean, it's what can you say? I mean, there's not many guys in the world who can do that. Maybe nobody else in the world could make that specific play. I don't know. Maybe Josh Allen, but it was I would put it on the career reel for sure.
Hey, Childs, did Harp say why he called timeout with 48 seconds to go before the half?
Yeah, he did talk about it. I mean, he said he just had confidence that they could get that first down, and that was his mindset. I mean, I didn't agree with it at that point. I mean, I felt like he went for that fourth and short, you know, on the previous
that was gutsy.
On the previous fourth down. I felt like he did that. I mean, and that was a gutsy call in and of itself. But I feel like he did that in part so he could have control of the clock, right? So, you know, surprised me very much that he would stop it and not at least force Cincinnati to take a timeout, which I suspect that they would have, but of course it did end up biting them. But that was his explanation, that he was thinking confidently about the offense. He wanted to get the right play in, and that's what he did. He said he was already rethinking it by the end of the game, though, that he would like to have it back.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, because Childs, when he did it, I'm saying to myself, you know, because I was like, well, Bengals called timeout. Makes sense. I mean, it's 3rd and 10 for the Ravens. And then they said Baltimore. I said, what? You know, I mean, it made, you know, because then they end up giving up the touchdown there. And, like, the momentum after the safety, the momentum wasn't on their side at that. I just wanted to get to halftime. That would have been my thing. I said, Harbs, let's just get to the half, regroup. They got the momentum, and they're getting the ball.
Well, and then, of course, it ends up being a total disaster because they let they let Chase, who's the most dangerous guy on the field, run right by him. I mean, I'm thinking initially, okay, you know, they blew the time, they blew the clock management. Cincinnati's going to kick a field goal. That's bad enough. Then it turns into a touchdown. No one Cincinnati's getting the ball back to start the second half. And it's like, oh man, you know, they might have just given the game away right here.
And you know what would be an interesting question for you guys to ask Chris Horton? Like, in that situation, you know, with Tylan Wallace, when they let the ball roll to the two, because, the Ravens were kind of in control at that time. Because the punter is so good and everything, in that type of situation, you put two guys back. You know, so somebody's going to fair catch it.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, obviously, you don't see that very much, but I will be interested to ask Harbaugh, who we know his special teams background, about that play today. You know, how would they coach that? How will they coach it coming off of that play? And then to ask Horton about it on Thursday, because you said it, that was another huge play in that sort of sequence of events in the second quarter that really did swing the momentum to Cincinnati. And as I said, I honestly, my thought after Cincinnati scores on that first drive of the third quarter is they've blown this game. You know, those three or four plays that, you know, where they sort of weren't on point. I was like, this is probably the game. And that, you know, then so many things happened after that. But I mean, it was, man, that was a costly stretch for them.
Yeah. I tell you what, have you seen like a group of receivers? I'm talking about both teams making diving, the plays that the receivers, including tight ends, the plays that they made in that game yesterday, it was phenomenal watching. I mean, if you're a receiver coach, you know, you're happy as hell on both sides of the ball today.
Oh, it was a fireworks show. It really was. I mean, and we can talk and we may talk about the shortcomings of the Ravens defense, but some of that is just that those guys are really good, right? I mean, the quarterback and Chase and Higgins are all at the top of their craft, and they were on it yesterday, and the Ravens were not able to ever knock them off a rhythm once they got going in the second quarter. I mean, really until the end of the game when they make those two big plays. And so, I mean, those guys are all going, and then the Ravens are able to answer them. And I mean, I wrote last night, I mean, yes, it was a great Lamar game, but you know, he needed his receivers to also be there for him and sort of meet the moment. And they all did. I mean, you know, and you know, a lot of the guys we've talked about in sort of a frustrated way in recent weeks. I mean, you know, the Batemans and the Mark Andrews who weren't seeing the ball. I mean, they all had big moments in the game. I mean, Charlie Kolaire, you know, a couple of big plays where he was able to be a threat on those earlier downs. I mean, it was, you know, pretty much everybody in the Ravens passing offense contributed at one point or another last night. So it was, if you like passing offense, it was a game for you.
The biggest concern I had, you know, was Burrow had all kinds of time. The pass rush was not good. Oue was kind of a no-show. Ojabo only had 14 snaps. You know, and Ngakoue, he had a nice rush, but the ball came out. And I saw Van Noy had one nice rush, but otherwise he was a non-factor. So, you know, they didn't give the secondary any help, which the secondary needed some help.
No, I tweeted that. I tweeted that during the game. I had the same thought. I mean, you know, they had the one blitz early when Hamilton got Burrow. And obviously, you know, Matabike has a big pass rush at the end. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. I mean, they were not putting as much heat on him as they needed to. And, you know, it wasn't just that when they were rushing four, the guys weren't getting home. I mean, when Orr was sending an extra guy, that guy often usually wasn't getting home either, right? I mean, they had so much success in the Buffalo game, you know, sending Allen running out of the pocket, you know, by sort of calling blitzes at the right times and in the right combinations. But they, you know, whatever formula they found in that game did not click against Cincinnati. And we had seen them really confuse Burrow and throw him off the previous two seasons, right? I mean, they were kind of in his head and had him reluctant to throw it on field, but they certainly were not able to discombobulate him yesterday.
Charles Walker, Baltimore Sun, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Charles, last thing for you. Ravens host Washington. They're on fire. You go to Tampa, certainly a formidable team. Then at Cleveland, Denver's now starting to get momentum rolling. Cincinnati again. Given the struggles of the other teams in the division, how close are the Ravens maybe to taking control of the AFC North? Next three are going to be interesting games for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this would be the time to do it, but I, I don't feel like it's going to be as – I don't feel like it's going to be easy. I'll put it that way. First of all, I mean, Pittsburgh is having its struggles now. I mean, we always knew their offense would be, you know, a little bit limited, and that's the case. But I don't think they're going to go away. And, you know, some of these games are – some of these games the Ravens are facing are a lot tougher than we probably thought when we looked at the schedule before the season, right? I mean, I think almost all of us would have circled this Washington game as sort of an obvious win, right? I mean, one that you wouldn't even think twice about as you sort of project the record for the season. And I know they're still a pretty big favorite, but this is a dangerous team. I mean, it's certainly possible that the Commanders show up and, you know, they're playing a real top opponent for the first time, and maybe they're not quite as good as they've looked for the last month. But I mean, God, they're averaging more than 30 points a game. I mean, you know, that their quarterback is just rolling. I mean, the ball's barely hitting the ground. He's a huge threat, you know, to scramble and make plays in the Lamar mode. So, I mean, this is a dangerous game. It could be another shootout, right? So, you listed some of the other ones. I mean, you know, Cleveland's looking like a pretty easy market.
They stink.
You know, Denver, but Denver is not. Like, I mean, you know, yes, they're having problems with their quarterback, but I mean, they're in every game. Their defense is good. So is this the stretch when you would expect them to maybe create a little distance? Yes, but they're going to have to go and take it because these are not – it's not like it's four easy games.
Childs Walker, Baltimore Sun. Childs, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Have fun with John Harbaugh today.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, yeah. Childs. I'm sure he'll be like, hey, good question, Childs. That's sort of a John Harbaugh. By the way, the network thought so much of this Washington game, they wanted to flex it to Sunday night, where instead they got the Giants and the Bengals coming up. But ooh, hey, Giants coming off a win on the road in Seattle. Cincinnati put up a ton of points, so there is some import to it to some level. We'll come back, whip around, we'll talk about the baseball playoffs as we got the highlights from two exciting games depending on what team you're a fan of. American League back on the diamond starting at 4:00 this afternoon in Cleveland. Talk more about that with Mike Exisa from CBSSports.com. Then we'll go to Nolan's Funhouse around 11:45. News from the Dash. You want to join us, get on in here at 410-583-1057. Ravens are 3-2. All's right with the world, correct?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Hades, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the whip around here on this Victory Monday. Ravens 41-38 in overtime over the Cincinnati Bengals. Third straight win for the Ravens. Talk about that with you if you want to get in. 410-583-1057. Definitely talk about it with Howard Balzer coming up at 12:30 from Lindy's. We'll have our AFC North report coming up later in the show as well. Around the AFC North. We'll come up with a fancy name sooner or later because we do have the imaging.
Oh, nice.
Finally. Maybe in time for the Orioles playoff push. Oops. Maybe we'll play that next September. But anyway, we digress. Major League Baseball. Mets, after coming from behind late and stunning the Phillies at Game 1 on Saturday, got off to an early lead. Philly fought back. The Mets fought back. And then Nick Castellanos doing some all sorts of awesome things there.
Fastball punched to the air. Deep center field. Back it goes. And Bryce Harper brings life to Philadelphia. It's 3-2. Castellanos, deep to left, just like that. This game is tied.
FS1 on the call, down 3-0, Harper, 2-run bomb. Castellanos ties it with a solo, then Nemo goes deep. Next inning puts them ahead. Then Castellanos wins it walk-off style. So Philadelphia 7-6 over the New York Mets. Stott with two ribbies there. Series tied at a game apiece. So that's fun. And exciting in Philadelphia, then out in Chavez Ravine. Things got ugly late, and then things were ugly early, I guess. If you're a Fernando Tatis fan, things were always fun and exciting.
That is a fastball pummeled down the line. If it's fair, it's gone. It is gone, and a home run for Tatis, whose mastery over Jack Flaherty continues.
Jack Flats, as we called him when he was in Baltimore briefly, or I did anyway. FS1 on the call, Fernando Tatis. Two homers, San Diego hit 6. Jackson Merrill, Severna Park zone, he goes deep as well. Yu Darvish, outstanding, 7 innings, 3 hits. Only one run. That series has tied it a game apiece, but Tatis had taken Flaherty deep early. Flaherty hits him. Unintentional, I would assume. Yeah, you want to pitch inside, but it's a playoff game. You're not trying to play any stupid games. I wouldn't think that Manny was popping off on the on-deck circle. Flaherty strikes out Manny. They're mother-effing each other as Flaherty's telling him to get the bleep back in the dugout. Then Manny wants to challenge him outside after the game. Very Steelers-Ravens-like from early 2000s. But the bottom line is San Diego wins 10-2. That series is tied at a game apiece. Today, Tarek Skubal against Boyd as Detroit looks to get back in the series after they got clobbered on Saturday. And then Kansas City is at the Yankees tonight. Reagans against Rodon. Battle of lefties. Yankees win a thriller on Saturday. So they're up. So both Cleveland and the Yankees up. One game to zip. We'll talk more about this stuff with Mike Axisa coming up here in a matter of minutes. But college football over the weekend. Maryland was off. Navy wins 34-7 over Air Force. They're 5-0. They have a bye this week. And then get the Fighting Pogies coming up from Charlotte in a couple of weeks. Alabama, number one, loses to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And I had three TVs, as I normally do. There was boxing. Nick Ball defends his featherweight championship. Congratulations to him. But at SMU in Louisville, good game. Exciting game.
Yes,
SMU.
It was.
Beats Louisville, then at Missouri, Texas A&M blowout game. Texas A&M blows out the Tigers.
Well, the refs kind of helped out at the beginning of that game.
Saw the score, though, of the Alabama game, and they were losing. Still second quarter, they were down by maybe 10. Let me check this thing out. They turn it on, and then it turned out to be like a thrilling extravaganza. For the first time ever, the Commodores beat a number one team as they stun Alabama, fresh off that dramatic win against Georgia last week.
Yeah, and then Vandy, they took the goalpost down, took him and threw him in the river.
Yeah,
I saw the fireman yesterday took him out of the river and brought him back.
Tennessee, number four in the country, they lose to Arkansas 19-14. We talk about Texas A&M 41-10 over Missouri. Washington beats number 10 Michigan. Last year was the championship game. Neither team sniffing the championship game this year, but Washington gets the win over the offensively challenged Wolverines there.
I mean, Michigan has no quarterback, Bob. I mean, the kid that came in, I mean, the pick that he, it was horrible.
Minnesota 24-17 over number 11 USC.
Yeah.
Row the boat, PJ Fleck. Yeah. And we mentioned that Louisville game 34-27.
Well,
and Indiana beat Northwestern, they're 6-0.
PJ, Bob. There's a minute to go in the game. You're on SC's 1 yard line, 4th and goal. A minute to go. And you go for it. And they don't make it. They replay it, and then they made it. So, you know, otherwise, if he doesn't make it, you know, and they lose, PJ might have been rowing the boat.
Yeah, but he got that win, upset at that. So some of the stunners in college football here over the weekend. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Mike Axisa, CBSSports.com. Talk about the baseball playoffs, finals, trip, Nolan McGraw, and then news from the Nash. You want to join us? News from the Nash? You can at 410-583-1057. Ravens won 3 in a row. They're tied for first. Quietly in the playoffs, 0-5 the last 2 years. Ultimately, as you saw it, what doomed Baltimore? Tale of two halves. Best team in baseball, arguably 2.5 months. Below 500, the other 2.5.
Yeah, and, you know, the offense was kind of the primary culprit the whole time, right? You know, the season started, trade deadline came around, and was like, all right, did they have enough pitching? You know, and then once Bradish got hurt and went down with his surgery, and Grayson Rodriguez get hurt, everybody was kind of wondering if they would have enough pitching, and then it was the offense that let them down. I mean, they held Kansas City to, what, 3 runs in the 2 games, and they got swept, which is kind of rough, but they scored 1 run in the series on a solo home run. You know, Cedric Mullins was so good in the second half, and his kind of resurgence was kind of muted because Adley Rutschman didn't hit. I mean, I have to think he was hurt. He just, his collapse was like completely coincidental with that, with the hit by pitch of the, or the foul tip to the wrist. The timing was just so perfect. I don't think Adley was healthy, but, you know, Gunnar Henderson didn't do anything in the wild card series. Just all these guys who were supposed to be your foundational pieces are supposed to carry you. It just didn't hit. And that was a problem for much of the summer. And in a way, I think, like, all right, you should be fine going forward because these guys are still so young and so talented. 2-game series, like anything can happen there, you know. But still, that's really disappointing. Like, you went through this long and ugly and horrible rebuild with such terrible baseball, and now you're going into 2025. You haven't even won a playoff game yet. You know, this, you kind of look at the Astros. They did their rebuild, and in their second postseason trip, they won the World Series. Same thing with the Cubs. They rebuilt, second postseason trip, won the World Series. The Orioles are now 0-2 just in years trying to win a postseason game. So, yeah, that's not great. It's got to be disappointing for them.
Mike Axisa, CBSSports.com. All right, let's stay in the American League. Saturday night passed. Kansas City, the Yankees, Chisholm steals second. Looks like he was out. Even, you know, Ron Darling's like, oh, I mean, he's out. But they go to the replay thingy there, and he was ruled safe. He winds up scoring, which proved to be, I believe, the winning run in that game. Yeah. And look, I'm all about replay, and I'm to the point, Mike, where I think they need robot umpires. Strikes need to be strikes. Balls need to be balls. It is what it is. We're an advanced society. But how do they blow that one?
Yeah, you know, that was one of those plays where the call on the field was going to stand no matter what. If they had called him out on the play, the replay, because the replay, they announced it as the call stands, and that's like an official term. That means they replayed it. They didn't see conclusive evidence to overturn it. So if they would have called him out on the field, the out call would have stood, and Yankees just caught a breaker that he was called safe on the field and it stood. And I mean, yeah, it looked to me like he was out. That wasn't the reason Kansas City lost the game. You know, they stranded a lot of runners there. They had a chance to really kind of knock Gerrit Cole out in the fourth and fifth inning, didn't do it. So yeah, that was a bad mistake. I don't think that's the single reason. I mean, maybe just don't give up a two out hit to Alex Verdugo, who was one of the worst hitters in baseball this season. That's kind of what did them in there. So, yeah, the call, they missed. I think they missed the call, but I don't know. I don't think that's the real reason that Kansas City lost there.
All right, let's get to the Chargers, the Padres and the Dodgers. I mean, I still wish they were in San Diego, the Chargers, that is, but that's another story. Why the venom here? And I know Manny played there 6 years ago for half a season, came over from the Orioles in that trade, but there's a lot of angst between the two. It looked like it was going to spill over into violence on the field, and it looked like Manny and Jack Flaherty were ready to duke it out inside and outside of Dodgers Stadium. Why is the venom, why is the hate so strong between these two teams, where the Dodgers and Giants were the longtime bitter rivals?
Yeah.
Why has San Diego kind of slid into that one?
You know, I really don't know. And I think it's entertaining overall. As long as nothing spills over to the point where somebody gets hurt or anything. But a lot of it was, you know, last night was the fans. They were throwing stuff on the field, and you know, Profar robbed that home run, and he didn't say anything to the fans. We kind of egged them on a little bit, and the Padres were getting blown out, and it just kind of spilled over there. And I don't know if there's a history between Flaherty and Machado. I don't know if there's something happening there, but Flaherty said after the game, you know, he struck him out, and he had, you know, he just kind of said something to him because he was emotional. Machado didn't like it. And then, I don't know. But these two teams, I mean, clearly they don't like each other. And again, as long as it doesn't spill over into anything, I think it's good. You know, just comparing the two, the American League, the National League series, they've been fantastic in the NLDS. It's only been two games in the AL so far, but they've kind of haven't had the same juice. And but yeah, it's a real rivalry there. And you know, the Dodgers have been the kind of the number one team there in Southern California for however many years now. The Padres are pretty good. You know, I look at them on paper, I think they might be the best team still playing, just top to bottom for 1-26 on the roster. So I think there's some frustration on the Dodgers' part because their starting pitching has just been horrible for like three straight postseasons now. And the Padres, they got a lot of exciting talent. There's some, you know, showboatiness to them. And I think they just kind of get under the Dodgers' skin, and certainly the fans too.
Now, in regards to the series itself playing out here, it's a best of three now moving forward. Dodgers have had their postseason failures. Yes, they won the World Series during the COVID year, and that still counts. And congratulations to that 4 years ago. But is the pressure all on them now, the Dodgers, Dave Roberts in particular, for they've had these epic teams that have won well over 100 games many times, but yet only air quotes, one world championship to show for it?
Yeah, I don't think Roberts in particular is in trouble, but there's certainly pressure on the Dodgers here. I know the broadcast the other night tried to play the Dodgers as underdogs, but like, come on, we're not. They won the division. They're spent $700 million on Shohei Ohtani. They signed Yamamoto as well. They're not the underdog. It's because they are not as formidable right now as they have been in the past. They're still the team to beat. And you look at the state of the rotation, it's not good. And this is kind of like they're kind of reaping what they sow here. They built a pitching staff that has some extremely talented pitchers. Almost all of them have injury concerns. And a whole bunch of them got hurt at the end of the year. And this is just kind of what they built, and they have to live with it. So And I think the Padres, I think they're the more talented team right now, just based on the teams they actually have on the field right now. But I still think they're kind of like just the underdog, and kind of like narratively is, you know, the Dodgers are they're the best team. They're supposed to be the best team because they're in the bigger market, and they're such a really smart and well-run team. But yeah, this is not the most fearsome Dodgers team we've seen in the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years.
Now, in today's games, I would imagine with Skubal on the mound for Detroit, they're probably feeling like they got to win this game. And with Reagan's on the mound for Kansas City, if he pitches like he did against the Orioles, they should feel pretty good about evening up the series, both of them today.
Yeah, it really is a must-win for the Tigers, especially. Like, if they lose a Skubal start, then just forget it. I don't think they have much of a chance to win the series then. The Royals, you know, if they lose, I mean, obviously, if they lose today, they're in real trouble. But I just feel like they have a little bit better of a chance to kind of extend the series than the Tigers would, just because they would have Seth Lugo going in game three. I think I like their offense a little bit more, even though neither the Tigers or the Royals have like a great offense. I just like the Royals a little bit more because they do have a bona fide star in Bobby Witt Jr. Perez is going to hit home runs, so they have some more pieces there. Obviously, though, you know, if you fall behind 2-0 in a best of five, I think the last team to come back from 0-2, I think that was 2017. It's, you know, it's not easy. And yeah, if you lose a game started by your ace, whether it's Skubal or Reagan's, and you fall behind 0-2 in the series, I mean, that's you're in trouble then.
Mike Exesa, CBSSports.com. Mike, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the games today. We'll talk to you before the championship series.
Yeah, sure thing.
You got it. Mike Exesa, everybody. Sad Orioles, disappointing. Go 0-2 in the postseason. Sort of like them with runners in scoring position. 0-2. Well, when you come back, we're not here to rag on the Orioles, though. We'll come back, go to Nolan's Funhouse. That's going to be exciting, I'm sure. Got news from the desk coming up top of the hour. You want to join us for that? You can. Buy or sell. Let's count the Monday money. And then Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, talk about the NFL season. We're 5 weeks in, believe it or not. There is a game tonight. We'll do our picks for that one later on in the show as well. And our Around the AFC North coming up later in the program. Ravens are tied for first. How about that? Vinny and Andy, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Let's go to Detroit and Rasheed. Rasheed, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? That's Super Rasheede. Super Rasheede from Detroit.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yep, the inner city sports analyst. So I roll with the Baltimore Ravens 1,000,000%. Love them. So what I've understood from the get-go, though, is I even called it out. I called out the play or the pick of they need to get Mark Henry. I called it out 3 months before they even did it. I said they need Mark Henry.
Derrick Henry.
And they need, there you go, Derrick Henry.
Mark Henry would have wrestled everybody to submission.
Right. So anyway, so I called it. But then I also called for them to have a superior, either one or two superior wide receivers. They need Hall of Famers over there. I say let's go after Davante Adams. Let's get Davante Adams, people, because my thing is this. If the Bengals can do that to us, and they were not supposed to do that to the Ravens, no. They were not supposed to go down to the wire like that. What are the superior teams going to do against the Ravens? They're really going to give them fits. We need that. I think we need that Hall of Famer receiver. Why not go after Davante Adams and say, look, Davante, if you go over there with Aaron, how much more longer is it going to be before you can get a Super Bowl as opposed to coming over here with us, over with the Ravens, me, Mark Henry, and Lamar? You can get yourself a Super Bowl possibly this year and next year, and we can, put Kansas City in their place. So I don't know why the wide receiver core is so lacking on Hall of Famers. They got rid of Hollywood Brown, which I think they need to bring him back because he has only a one-year contract.
Well, he whined his way out of here. Hey, thanks for the call, man, and I appreciate it.
Yeah,
maybe give
Davante
us a
Adams.
Yeah, maybe give us a little Jameson Williams and do some of that sort of thing. You want to help us out wide receiver-wise with St. Brown, but pretty sure Zay Flowers had a strong game yesterday. Bateman scored a touchdown.
Yeah, here's the only
receiver lack thereof.
Here's the only thing, you know, like watching the Ravens over the years, Bob, is when they like identify like a problem that like they, when they went and got Lee Evans, they needed a receiver. When they went and got Bolden, they needed, you know, I just don't see where they need one. I mean, the receivers played great yesterday, and I'm guessing the camaraderie in that room is good. You bring in a Derrick Henry, do you change the total? You change your locker room.
Davante Adams. Yeah. Or Mark Henry. I mean, we're going to bring somebody in here. But look, the previous 2 weeks combined, Lamar threw 33 passes.
Right.
And everybody, well, where are the targets? And this guy was as guilty as anything. Threw 42, everybody ate yesterday. Tight ends were eating. Mark Andrews got stuffed. Likely two touchdowns. Davante Adams comes here. Are they immediately going to start throwing the ball 50 times a game to pacify him? No.
Mm-mm.
He's going to have to settle into what they do offensively, not change the offense to satisfy his wants and needs. By the way, I think New Orleans is the other place he'd like to go because him and Carr are buddies from college days.
See, I think, you know, like defenses are going to dictate. Like the Bengals, they dictated to the Ravens yesterday, listen, Lamar's got to beat us throwing a football. And he did, because we're not going to let you run. And they had 12 guys up on a line of scrimmage, you know. I mean, they were just not going to let it happen. And the receivers, although I don't know that there's going to be as many secondaries as bad as Cincinnati's was. I told you that 29 was bad.
Oh. Britt.
Oh, yeah, he was not good.
Well, he did celebrate the play that he made. Let's bring Nolan McGraw in. Nolan, what's up?
Doing pretty good. You know, the Davante Adams stuff, I was laughing over the weekend because we make fun of it all the time. Players that get fed up with their location, they ask out, the social media antics. Well, I mean, Adams took it to a new level over the weekend. The whole Edgar Allan Poe posting the picture, the quote, believe nothing you hear, half of what you see. I'm guessing completely oblivious Davante Adams was to the fact of the Poe Ravens connection and posting this. And of course, all the Ravens fans get, you know,
it was
over the moon.
A cryptic message.
That this is him saying he wants to come to Baltimore. I'm like, no chance.
So you're saying that was just a coincidence?
Coincidence.
Of all coincidences.
He probably posted it, saw the response, was like, oh. What?
Right.
You know, I mean, he's telling you there with the quote, you know, believe nothing you hear, half of what you see, basically saying what happens, happens. But yeah, I'm with you guys. I don't see the Ravens making a strong push to get him. I mean, if it's going to take a super, you know, something cheap, like if you got him for a fifth rounder or something, but I don't see that happening. So yeah, I think the Ravens have the pieces they need to compete. And yesterday was perfect evidence of that.
Yeah, and Bob, when you look at it, Bateman's been playing well. Flowers, you know, has been playing well. Then you got Aguilar. And Wallace just makes plays when he needs to at critical times. So, I mean, you got four guys that are kind of getting it done, and Tez Walker's on a redshirt year.
Yeah, and when did Charlie Kolar turn into Dave Casper all of a sudden? He was running all over the place yesterday doing some good things with the ball.
At Iowa State, he was a receiver. He wasn't a blocker. And the thing about it is he ran like 4.7.
Well, you heard Harlan during the game go, he's usually known as a blocker. Like, yeah, what universe is that one?
Right.
Maybe that was one of them Edgar Allan Poe quotes. We got time for a fun house or not?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Quick draws, fun house. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, that was the real Justin Tucker yesterday. Never wavered in confidence. Good on Harbaugh for doing the same. This has been your guy for well over a decade. Why should 2 or 3 weeks be enough to derail all of that? Just a blip on the radar.
Well, it was kind of 2 years of over 50 yards that he hadn't made. So it wasn't a blip on the radar. It was, you know, it was cause for concern.
1 for 7, I believe, was the worst percentage of qualifying kickers in that area.
Yeah. So,
but he drilled it when it matters.
Yes. That was a big, I promise you, it was a big relief for him. And he'll probably, if he'll talk this week or whatever, and he'll probably say, you know, whatever corrections they had to make, that he made them, and it worked.
Bill in Bayview checking in says, the Ravens win filled the void of the O's elimination for me. Hate to think how he would be feeling had Cincy's holder not botched the hold there on the field goal. Also, Lamar proved that he is better when rolling out than standing in the pocket. But man, those fumbles at critical times will drive you crazy.
Yeah, the one, like, he's clapping because the clock's running down, and he's, you know, give me the ball, give me the ball. Come on, Linderbaum, what the hell are you doing? And then he probably is looking up at the clock, and, you know, because his eyes weren't on the football, and it would happen twice.
Yeah, if they make the field goal, we're not talking about the brilliant touchdown. Likely, we're talking about the turnover that cost them a game in overtime, and John Harbaugh's taking even more heat
by his timeout.
For calling that timeout, for sure. But they won the game, and he was brilliant. Lamar Jackson was. And right now, Vinny and I, Nolan, get in here before we go to a break. Through 5 weeks, MVP of the league. I mean, there's a couple of, I mean, Sam Darnold, Derrick Henry, I think, would deserve some consideration. But pickets are slim. A lot of guys having individual years, their teams aren't doing all that great.
And, you know, someone like Josh Allen, all right, you build up, what, 3-4 weeks of just, oh, this is the guy, this is him. He's finally going to have that MVP campaign, not turning the ball over. All it takes is one game, runs into the Ravens' defense, and now his season is on a completely different trajectory.
His completion percentage went from in the 70s to 60 in just 2 games. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nets coming up next. You want to join us for that? You can. 410-583-1057. Buy or sell. Where's the Monday money? Hopefully counting that around 12:15. Howard Balzer from Lindy's, longtime NFL writer. Hey, his Cardinals stunned the 49ers yesterday. Former Terp with the game-winning field goal. And we'll look at our picks, college and pro, heading into tonight's game. Kansas City can't keep winning these close games, can they? Take it on the Chargers. Take it on. I don't know why I have the Chargers on the brain. They didn't play yesterday. Talking about the Saints tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.